hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
We've been in a series called Psalms of Trust, and I've really liked this series. I think it's a great series. But it's a series that we've been going on a bit of a journey, and we're about halfway through tonight of our six-week series. But we've been going on a journey and looking at the attributes of God. That's kind of the big thing. The psalmist captures so much truth about God. And we live in a world that's continually rattled by anxiety. And I don't know about you, but we live in a world where I feel like sometimes, man, I don't know how the next 10 years is going to look. I don't know how the next 5 years is going to look. There's a sense of uncertainty in the air. But as the people of God, we need to know that we're not the first ones to wrestle with anxiety. God's people have always been wrestling with these emotions. These emotions, whether it's a sense of depression or anxiousness or a feeling of hopelessness, there's always been, as long as humanity has existed since the fall, there's always been a sense of these emotions bearing their weight on us. And they're not new. And that's the point of the Psalms, is that we can go to the Psalms tonight and we can look at people who are feeling anxious, who are feeling that sense of hopelessness, and we can take courage because that world was crazy. That Old Testament world is crazy. I don't know if you've read some of the things in there, right? There's some strange stuff. And if God is working in that world, how much more is He working in our world today, having given the Spirit at Pentecost and pouring out his Spirit on all flesh? And I'm just encouraged and excited by that thought. But we're going to Psalm 16, and before we do that, I just want to kind of point out that the Word of God in your life that has power is the Word that you store in your heart. The Word that has power in your life is the Word that you've put as an anchor for your soul, that you've meditated upon, that you've tucked away, that you've kept. You've taken the truth about God and you've brought it close and you've imbibed it. You've absorbed it. There was former weight champion Joe Frazier said rather well. He said, you can map out a fight plan or a life plan, but when the action starts, when you're in the ring, you're down to your reflexes. If you've cheated on that in the dark of the morning, you'll be found out under the bright lights. And the point of that is to say, when the fight starts, when you're in the ring and anxiety is coming against you and you're feeling like depression's coming against you, you're down to your reflexes. The way that you have lived your life and the disciplines that you've put into your life in the dark, when no one's watching, when you're on your own and you're thinking of something to do, they're the moments that are going to define what happens when you step into the ring. And so again, the Word of God in your life that has power is that which you are prepared to store inside your heart. And so my hope tonight, as you hear this Word and as we go through this series, is that you would take deep seriousness about absorbing this Word, about taking it deep and making it a foundation for your life. And I want to encourage you around that tonight. Don't just let this be a sermon. Let this be something that provokes you to deep meditation and thought upon the Word of God. Because when you're in the ring, that's what's going to count. And this is God's Word for us tonight in Psalm 16. So let's read that together. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you I have no good thing. As for the saints of the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God will multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. For the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot secure. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, my heart also instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, and because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my whole heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the paths of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Would you pray with me tonight, Father? Lord, would you speak to us now? Come, Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Bring to me now, God, by your power, things I haven't prepared, I haven't thought of, God, for your people. I pray that you would change us tonight, that you would mold us. Lord, we come asking Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, now, Psalm 16 is probably one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And it's a psalm that I have prayed many, many times. One of the best things to do with Scripture is not just to meditate on it, but what I tend to do, and it's been something that's brought a lot of life to me, is that I'll take a psalm and I'll use that as a basis for my prayer. And in doing that, what I've found is that I'm praying this truth and I'm putting out the picture of who God is before me, and I'm addressing God like God's in the room. God, is you are in this room tonight, and I'm speaking this truth to you. I'm declaring this to you. I'm saying, this is who you are, God. This is who you've revealed yourself to be. It is a powerful way to pray. But it is one of my favorite psalms, and I've prayed it so many times. But this psalm is, right at the start of the psalm, it says, this is a mitkam of David. I'm not going to go into that. But basically, no one really knows what that means. But some people will say that it's a golden psalm of David. And for me, I found that to be true. It's a psalm that, if you look at all the works of David, I think in this psalm, you capture a lot of the theology of David. And there's so much in here, and I wish we had a lot more time to unpack it, but I'm going to do my best just to walk through two key themes that I see in this psalm that I want to encourage you with. There's two main ideas, but I want to summarize this psalm like this. If you can experience fullness of trust, you can experience fullness of joy. If God becomes your sovereign Lord, your greatest treasure, and if in Him alone you find your deepest pleasure, then death and trial will lose its power. No one or thing could then devour the life and hope you have in God. When storms they come to test your faith, your soul at rest will kiss the waves, which though they try and drown you fast, cast you instead upon the rock of ages past. I'll say that again. If you can experience, if tonight your prayer is, God, let me experience fullness of trust in you, then I'm promising you, by the power of God's word, you can have fullness of joy. If God becomes your sovereign Lord, your greatest treasure, and if in Him alone you find your deepest pleasure, then death and trial will lose its power. No one or thing could then devour the life and hope you have in God. When storms they come to test your faith, your soul at rest will kiss the waves, which though they try to drown you fast, cast you instead upon the rock of ages past. For me, that's the best way I can explain the truth in this psalm. If God becomes your sovereign Lord, if God becomes your greatest treasure, then everything is going to change in your life. Everything is going to change in your faith. These truths about God, that God is the sovereign Lord, and that there is nothing more satisfying, there is nothing that tastes better than God, those two truths will give you confidence and will make you resistant and resilient when the waves come. And you will find in your life that the waves that come upon you to take you out will instead be the waves that cast you upon Jesus. They'll be the waves that take you to the place you most want to go, which is Jesus. Do you want that tonight? Do you want God to be your sovereign Lord? Do you want God to be your deepest treasure? That's my prayer for you as we look at this psalm. Look, he starts with a petition. Preserve me, O God, because in you I take refuge. Preserve me, O God, in you I take refuge. You're my safe place. You're the place that I go. You're the place that I run to. You're the place that's home for me. Preserve me, O God. Keep me. Protect me. God, I feel like something's coming for me. I feel like anxiety is here again. I feel like depression's here again. God, keep me. I feel myself slipping. I can feel my feet slipping. God, keep me. Preserve me. Don't let me fall. And the writer of this psalm is more than likely talking about death, the ravages of death. But whatever it is, even if it's literal or it's metaphorical, you may be in this room tonight and you feel like in some sense that death is pounding on your door. You may be in this room tonight and feel like in some sense these emotions that are deathly, anxiety, depression, hopelessness, are knocking on your door. And I want you to pray tonight, God, preserve me, keep me. God, here I am. I'm coming into your presence, God. I believe that you have the power to keep me. Now, why? Why? Well, look at this, right? And he says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Now, in your Bibles, the first Lord is going to be in capitals. That is the Hebrew word, Yahweh. Really, as I can understand it across the Old Testament, means creator God. That's the way that they understood God. God is above everything. God made everything. That's the whole point of Genesis, is that God loves life and God made everything, right? And so creator God. So that's the first thing, Lord. And he says, Lord, you are my Lord. Now you'll see the second Lord is lowercase. Now that word in the original is Adonai or Adonai, right? And means my sovereign one. So there's a sense here that when he's saying, God, preserve me, keep me. I say to you, my creator God, the one who made everything in this world, the one who through whom everything came into existence, the one who knows every detail about my life and is orchestrating my life and holds me secure. God, I'm casting myself upon you. God, I'm casting my whole existence upon you. Everything I have is sheer gift. Look what he says. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So it is the acknowledgement in this prayer that everything comes from God, that there is nothing in your world that God has not given you. Every breath that you breathe, every cell that's alive in your body is there by God's purpose and design, and God sustains it all. In him, we are all held together. So you can come to God tonight and you can say, God, preserve me. I know that you created everything. Everything's in your hands. And you're my sovereign Lord. I've cast myself before you. And you hold my world. You determine where I go. You determine everything is in your hands. I say to the Lord, you're my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So this is the first major truth in this psalm, that God is sovereign. God, you are my refuge. God has the power to keep you. Have you ever thought about that? In Jude, in the New Testament, he writes, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. And you may be in this place tonight and you can feel, again, you can feel these emotions and you can feel in some area of your life like your foot slipping. But I want to encourage you tonight that he is able to keep you. He is able to preserve you. Why? Because he is sovereign. Because he has all authority and he has all power. You know every single detail of my life, Lord. You're my sovereign Lord. Now, Jesus has been given all authority. We saw that in the Great Commission a couple weeks ago, and I'm just going to bring up a couple of texts about that. All authority is in his hands. Sovereignty means that everything under God's dominion, he has the right and the authority to rule it how he wants to rule it. That's what it means. The sovereignty of God is that if this is God's garden, then everything in this garden is there under God's complete authority and control. Nothing in your life is outside of the authority of Jesus Christ. Everything is under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's the best news ever. Because if there's one thing in your world that's threatening to take you out, and you look at me and tell me, I don't think God's got this. Well, your faith is on rocky ground. But if you can say, no, God created everything, everything is under his dominion, then you have confidence in your faith. You have security in your faith. Do you know God as the sovereign one? Look what happened to Jesus. Matthew 11:27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. John 3:35 says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. John 13:3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, began to wash the disciples' feet. In Ephesians, it's probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture here in Ephesians 1:20-23. The Father raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in every age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Everything is under the sovereign dominion of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, if you have pledged allegiance to Jesus, if you have come and you said, Lord, make me a new creation, change me, here's my life, and you have enlisted in the army of God, then you are part of an advancing kingdom that cannot be defeated. You are part of the kingdom of God. And who leads that army? Jesus Christ. And Jesus has all power. He has all dominion. So do you know him tonight as your sovereign one? And if you don't, what I mean by that is, do you look at God as the one who has all authority and all control over your life? Because if you do, you can rest. If anything in your life is riding on you, I would be worried as well. But if not, if it's on God, if it's on Jesus, if that's where it lay, the buck stops, if that's where it lands, then we can rest because I'm not holding any weight. Do you know God as your sovereign one? And look what he says. I love this. He says in verse 3, he says, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. And I don't know about you tonight, but one of the reasons I love coming to church is that even in Charlotte's story, Charlotte gets up here tonight, and I'm listening to her story, and I'm thinking, man, I can see the faithfulness of God in her story. And all of a sudden, the church around me is starting to proclaim the truth about who God is. Right? So I looked at Charlotte tonight, and there was a sense in me where I was like, man, I love the people of God. I love the fact that God is working through his church, and that I get to watch God be faithful to you, and to you, and to you. And when we come together, I can see who God truly is. I can see that God never lets his people down. So he says in this psalm, as for the saints in the land, man, that's where I'm happy. That's where I'm finding happiness. But he contrasts that. He says, for those people who run after other gods, man, I just watch the sorrows multiply. And I don't know about you, but I know people who are pursuing money and they're pursuing other things and they're chasing other gods. And they sacrifice for that god. They sacrifice. They let their family slide or they let other things slide and they're sacrificing for that god. And I can watch the sorrows multiply. But there are people in this room tonight, and that's you. There are people here tonight. And if we're going to be really honest about your life, the reason that you don't have peace, the reason that you're struggling with so much anxiety is because when it really comes down to it, God's probably number two or three. You're going to money and you're saying, give me security, preserve me, give me safety. You're going to other gods. And I want to encourage you tonight, know God as your sovereign Lord. Pursue him. And this kind of leads into the second thing I want to point out tonight is that the writer says, after contrasting this, after saying, man, when I look at the people of God, man, I get so happy. But then I also see people who are running after other gods and I see their sorrows just multiplying. He says, I see that going on, and he makes this resolve. And he says, the Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. God is my treasure. Can you say that tonight? Can you be honest and look into your soul and say, God, you're the one I want. You're the one that satisfies my desires. You're the one that brings me peace. Now, chosen portion has two meanings, but the better one that I can see is like in the Old Testament when the people of Israel were coming into the land. Basically, what happened is that they went into the land and they chose portions where they would live. And what would happen is obviously that portion of land is the chosen portion for that family, and it gets passed on generation to generation. So there's a sense in which he's looking around. The writer of the psalm, David, he's looking around and he's looking at all the different places he could set up camp. He's looking at all the different places where he could invest his life into, where he could call home. And he looks at all of the different places and he makes this resolve. He says, God, you are my chosen portion. Wherever God is, that's where I want to be. Wherever you are, God, that's where I'm going to stay. Because better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere. That's what he says. And I wonder if tonight if you can make that resolve, if you can look at the things that the world's offering you and you can say, you know what, God, tonight I want to make a choice to live in a life that's full of you. I want to be where you are. And if that's your prayer tonight, you're saying, God, I know that you hold everything and my whole world sits in your hands, but I want more than that. I want you to be the thing in which my heart takes pleasure. That's the next step above. Can you say that tonight? God, you're my treasure. You're the place that I go. This is what I know to be true. The place where you go to find your pleasure is the place of your deepest treasure. Does it make sense? The place where you go for your pleasure is your deepest treasure. The place where you run to, the place that you go back to get refreshed, to get refilled, that's the place that is your treasure. That's the thing that you worship because you're casting yourself upon it. So I want to encourage you tonight to say, God, I want you to be the thing that I go back to. I want you to be the thing in which my heart finds its satisfaction. God, I want to have my pleasure in you so that when the winds come and the waves come and the storms crash against my boat, it's not going to tip. Because I know I'm secure. I know that God holds me. And wherever God is, that's where I want to be. You take everything else from me. You take the world, but give me Jesus. I choose Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a man. He found a treasure in a field. And when he found the treasure, he covered it up. And he went and sold everything he had in his joy, and he bought that field. He wanted the treasure more than everything else that he had. Is that true for you tonight? Is that true for you? Can you look at Jesus and can you say, you know what, everything that I counted as valuable, like Paul says, I count as loss for the joy of knowing him. Can you say that tonight? If we were to be really honest in the space, can you say that? Can you honestly say, God, you know what? You are my deepest treasure. And you alone I find my pleasure. Can you say that tonight? The gospel, the good news of the gospel, becoming a Christian is not just believing truth. It's finding treasure. It's finding something that's more valuable than anything else. It's finding something that is so, so much more worth and value. Man, if I got one glimpse of who Jesus really is, I'm leaving everything behind. The gospel is finding the good news of what Jesus has done. Becoming a Christian, stepping into the kingdom of God, is finding treasure. It's finding a place to come back to, a place that you would rather come back to. A place where you'd rather be. Just as the band comes. I set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. You know, there's a verse in 1 Peter that says, when being mindful of God, we can endure much sorrow. And that's almost what David's saying in the psalm. He's saying that when I'm mindful of God, when my thoughts are consumed with who God is, that I know and God is before me and I'm trusting, everything's in his hands. He has all authority. Nothing in my life is outside of his control. And I know that, Jesus, you're the place that I come back to. You're the place that I rest. You're the place that I come to hide. You're my refuge. And I'm setting God before me like that. Like, that's the place I want to be. I'm zeroing in on you tonight, Jesus. I'm focusing on you. I know what the world offers. I know that the future seems uncertain, but you hold the future. He is the ageless one. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he knows, and he's the only one who's worthy. That's what Revelation says. Who is worthy to open the scroll and explain history? There's only one, and his name's Jesus. And I want to encourage you tonight, say, God, I want to come back to the truth that you are the sovereign Lord, and I want to cast myself upon you. But God, I've been running to other things, and the reason that I feel anxious and the reason that I feel nervous and the reason that sometimes I feel hopelessness is because when I'm being honest, God, I don't believe that you can satisfy me. Be honest. You can't play God. We saw last night that God knows everything about you, perceives your thoughts from afar. Let's not play church. We're here to encounter God. We're here to listen to the truth about Jesus, and then orient our lives, reorient ourselves around the person of Jesus Christ. But he says, listen to this. He says, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Because he's a place where I'd rather be. Because he holds it all anyways. He says this, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. Did you get that? Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. And listen to what he says, my flesh dwells secure. My mind, my emotions, my soul, my state of being dwells secure. Why? Because God holds everything and he's the place where I go to for my pleasure and my satisfaction anyways. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. He's the one who satisfies me. He's the one that gives me all that I need. He's you could take everything I have and I'm okay. Because I've got you, Jesus. And is that your prayer tonight? I want to see us as a people come into a new level of faith, come into a new level of trust in God, because I believe if we could experience fullness of trust, then we would be people who experience fullness of joy. Is that true for you tonight? I believe it is. You need to come back and ask those two questions. And again, if you can experience fullness of trust, then you can experience fullness of joy. If God becomes your sovereign Lord and your greatest treasure, if in Him alone you find your deepest pleasure, then death and trial will lose its power. No one will think or then devour the life and hope you have in God. When storms they come, they will come. When storms they come to test your faith, your soul at rest, you'll kiss the waves, which though they try and drown you fast, cast you instead upon the rock of ages past.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.